Now we're set. Lots of things coming in during that break. All right, we start hour number two. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. All right, let me go back to the end of hour number one. I talked about the New York Jets firing their GM, Mike Maccagnan. Manish Mehta, who covers the Jets and the NFL for the New York Daily News, has this tweet. Quote, Gase absolutely did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell, per sources. In fact, he made it clear that he didn't want to spend a lot of money on any running back. I mean, this is what I get. This is what I get for saying, don't look now, but the Jets actually are starting to look like a well-run football organization, a well-run football team. And now this. Lev's got to be pretty happy about that. Find out that his head coach didn't want him. Didn't want them to spend any kind of money at all on a running back. So there's that. Also, Adam Schefter tweeted, just months after NFL Network draft analyst Mike Mayock took the Raiders GM job, his replacement, Daniel Jeremiah, is under serious consideration for a prominent front office position with the New York Jets, per sources. NFL Network draft analyst job has become breeding ground for front office jobs. That to me is no brainer. My guy DJ, he eats tape. He eats tape. He absolutely lives for it. He loves it. He knows it. You'll never find a better guy. Schefter also points out that Jeremiah's friends with Philadelphia's VP of player personnel, Joe Douglas, who may have a role there in New York. So I would not at all be surprised. Daniel Jeremiah has made himself into an amazing broadcaster. He does great, great work for the NFL Network. But absolutely, he should be in a front office position. I love the guy. He's one of my favorites. And he did play in the Jim Rome 3-on-3 basketball classic back in the day. Going back to Pierre McGuire. This email, or actually is a tweet. First of all, Pierre McGuire. Is there anybody who loves anything as much as Pierre McGuire loves hockey? And in terms of his schedule, forget having to work all those games. Never mind that. The travel alone is insane. If that guy never did anything other than get off the airplane, go to a hotel, and then get on another airplane and go to another town, that'd be insane. Never mind the work involved. Never mind the games and the 4 hours prior to the game where he shows up. The travel alone is insane. This guy gets it. At TF People Eat tweets, Pierre McGuire sure travels a lot. Signed, James Harden. Dear Jim, when you bring Jason Terry back, it reminds me that this dude is a low-key jungle legend. Ward Dirk being the best German-born German player ever. 2010, Jason Terry was a Rome is Burning correspondent.
All right, Rome, we're here in the Maverick locker room. I'm with my good friend, the MVP, the best German-born player to ever come out of Germany, and he's covering up his feet right now. What is this we're doing right here, Dirk?
Oh, I got the German foot fungus.
What year did that kick in?
About 99 when I got here.
Rome, this is utterly disgusting. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want feet like that.
My man, I don't know what's better. That soundbite from back in the day or the fact that this guy, Phil, just pulled that. That is a deep pull. That is a great pull. When you bring Jason Terry back to the show, it reminds me that this dude is a low-key jungle legend. Ward Dirk being the best German-born German player ever. A little redundant. You know what he meant? And then there's this. Dear Jim, is Keith Arnold leaving the XR4TI because of Hawks' unbearable keto farts? Please advise. Tom in Baltimore. Of course, Tom is referring to this phone call from Brad last October when Hawk was on that diet.
Romy, get Keith Arnold on the mic and have him tell us about Hawk's new body odor and what it's been like sitting behind him and inhaling his keto breath for the past 2 months. Keith didn't move into Austin's old spot because it was vacant, Jim. He moved to avoid all those asparagus farts Hawk's been letting go during the show now. Did you see Keith biting his lip during that intro segment earlier? That's the face of a man trying to deal with sitting extremely close to a really stinky human being.
All right, so Hawk, and I'm on the other side of the glass, thankfully, but he no longer has keto flatulence or keto BO. Now it's pizza BO. Let me check in with you, Hawk. So as an example, when he went on that diet, he weighed 207, and my man dropped 30 lbs. He dropped all the way down to a 177. Now, Adam, I don't know what you weigh right now, but I got to think that it's not a 177. How much do you weigh? Where are you at right now?
I'm at 195, and I'm actually down 5 from the two bills that I looked down on a couple of weeks ago and kind of had a epiphany about what was happening to me. And man, I was very discouraged
dude,
that I put
what's
on
all what the is happening to you? So you lost 30, and then you gained 20 of it back.
Yeah, it was horrible. I'm kind of ashamed, but you know, everyone's going to kill me for bringing up the kid again because I used him as an excuse for why I sucked at the marathon.
Boy, that kid's become some kind of shield for you, Hawk.
Yeah, but honestly, you know, you become a father for the second time.
Anytime anything comes at you, man, you push that kid right out in front of
that's
you.
That's right.
And take this for me.
So I just leaned on DoorDash a lot. I actually had a tweet about DoorDash and Carl's Jr. once. It was just a really bad 3 months for me. And this is when I stopped training for the marathon.
DoorDash fast food, bro.
Right. DoorDashing fast food. Skittles and Snickers sent us like a grip of candy.
I'm not going to judge about you slamming copious amounts of fast food. I don't always eat cleanly. In fact, not nearly enough. But, dude, I don't DoorDash it. If I'm going to get it, I'll drive my car and get it.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that was where I was living. DoorDashing Carl's Jr., eating Snickers and Skittles for lunch, Mickey D's breakfast. And it was just getting out of hand. And so I was like, man, I haven't stepped on the scale in a while. Let's see where I'm at. Then I saw the two bills and I was like, holy hell. And simultaneously, Planet Fitness was opening up right next to my house. And so they're like, hey, $10 a month to come work out with a bunch of
purple machines.
And- yeah, purple machines and people that have no business being in a gym. So I signed up and
rich. You telling other people they've got no business being in a gym when you're DoorDashing Carl's Jr. All right.
Right. So, yeah, I started dieting and exercising about 2 weeks ago and also getting my fake tan on because Planet Fitness has free tanning for Black Card members, which I'm a Black Card member. So just been fake tanning and exercising.
What's the Black Card get you? Is that like the Amex Black Card?
Well, better. It gets you access to a tanning bed and a massage chair that you see in malls with like
dude,
those.
You live in Southern California, man. Why don't you just step outside and get some sun? Why do you need to go fake bake?
Well, time is money, Jim. So I like to go and spend, the 7 minutes in the bed and then get the workout going. And then, I'm down to 195 now. I have a goal of 180 by July 1st. My brother, who's a fitness freak, put me on that goal because I'll be in Seattle July 1st. And he said, if you get down to 180, I'll buy your round of golf. If you're 180 or above, you buy my round. My mom is known for fat shaming me. Last time she gave me a hug, she said, I can't get my arms around you anymore, fatty. So I've got a lot of reason to get down to 180 in 6 weeks by July 1st.
Wait, Hawk, you are something else. You really are, man. You are something else. If it's not one thing, it's always another with you. You are just like an endless source of content. You're fat. You're skinny. You got a porn stash. You don't. You're in a marathon. You're not. I mean, dude, for real?
Yeah.
Are you for real? Is this real life?
I'm fat right now, but I'm a recovering fat guy trying to get back to 180.
Fat! So why... Why are you in the gym? You were in the Y. Is this because you moved or did you change up your workout regimen? What's up?
Yeah, I'm no longer a member of the YMCA. I'm a member of Planet Fitness. So any gym memberships that are in the $10 to $15 a month range, that's all me. The Y is too far away from me. It's on the other side of my town. And so I hit up the Planet Fitness and I'm loving every minute of it. I'm a big Stairmaster guy and a big fake bake guy. It's awesome.
All right, so one last thought. So the Black Card is how much per month, and that gets you the fake bake? Like, how much extra do you pay for the fake bake?
It's $11 extra, so it's a total of $21 a month.
Mm.
But endless...
endless fake bake.
Endless fake bake.
And how often do you do that?
Twice a week. Alvin has told me to stop doing it, says I'm going to age poorly. My wife has pleaded with me to stop doing it, and I can't stop doing it.
That's hilarious. So the wife doesn't want you to. Like, Janet will do that. It smells like crap, by the way. She'll wash it off. I don't get that life at all, Hawk. You don't surprise me. I mean, you're pretty pasty and pretty pale, and you just do stupid things, Hawk, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, being fat and pale is not a good look.
It's not a good way to go through life, bro.
Not at all.
All right, thanks for sharing, though. Thanks for being you. Don't change. I know you won't, but don't. Hawk, he's amazing. So he weighed 207. Dude dropped 30 pounds. He dropped 30 pounds and then piled on 20 more, and now he just dropped 5. Bro, you are riding that escalator. Speaking of escalators, when I was at Super Bowl, I saw Charlie Weiss. I was going down. He was coming up. TFP Will Eat is in again. He's Batman. He's down to his last 2 days after today. Francis in Glendale on Twitter. He lost 20, but he lost 30, but he gained 20. Hawk is a bad investment scam. Hedstrom Bacon tweets after seeing his reaction. I can count on one hand the number of reasons the Pelicans have to keep Zion. Signed, Jason Pierre-Paul. All right. Trying to get this thing back on track. Dear Jim, I thought Adam Gase just had crazy laser eyes. Not that he hated my guts. Signed, Lev Bell. Right when I thought the Jets were a well-run organization, a well-run football team, right when I thought they were back on track. You see this. GM is out, and according to Manish Mehta, Gase absolutely did not want Le'Veon Bell, did not want a running back for any large amount of money. But my man, Daniel Jeremiah, according to Adam Schefter, could end up in a front office capacity with the New York Jets. Dear Rome, please make Keith Arnold wear a Batman costume on his last day. Thanks. John in Huntington Beach wore Planet Fitness stock plummeting today. It's Keith Arnold's last day. He can do whatever the hell he wants. That's coming up on Friday. 1-800-636-8686. All right, then. When we come back, I do want to get into game one of the Western Conference Finals. Also, episode 81 of the Jim Rome Podcast is with Bill Hader. He's the creator, actor, showrunner, director, et al., on Barry on HBO. Had a really good conversation with him, and that is live right now. Check it out. As any coach or GM will tell you, the foundation of any great team is great talent. So it's no surprise that teams dedicate so much time and effort towards finding the right players. The same rule applies when it comes to hiring. You need top talent, but you do not have endless resources to find that talent. Now what you do have is ZipRecruiter. They scout talent for you. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they do not stop there. Their powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through that site within the very first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. 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 ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It is golf's next major. The world's best eye, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. Tiger is shooting for back-to-back majors. His 16th overall, the PGA Championship, this weekend on CBS. Bethpage Black. They're jumping that up to the two-hole. Can Tiger go back-to-back? Tiger! Tiger has not played in a month.
Tiger!
Can he do it? Or is that too much rust to knock off? That is not an easy track to walk. The weather is not going to be ideal. Can you see this guy doing this? I'm not sure that's setting up for him. I think he'll be competitive. I don't think he's going to win. personally, I do not think he's going to win this one. But the fact that we're even having that conversation is pretty amazing. He's trying to make it back-to-back. He's trying to get to 16. If you want to weigh in on that, go right ahead. Also, there is a watch party, a 25th Smack-Off watch party that's got some significance. In fact, a lot of significance. And I will talk about that a little bit later on. It is Smack-Off season. How many days, Hawk? Are we at 38? 37? 37 days. So you are running out of time. This is not one of those, yeah, I got some time, I'll think about this. You don't have time. If you want to be a part of it, you need to get in. Get a golden ticket. If you need to RSVP, go ahead and do that too. And remember, you need to be in it to win it. And just because you're in it does not mean you'll get on the air. It's really important to remember that. The best chance you have of getting on the air is to build out this body of work. Make me want to take that phone call. If I can only take 15 calls that day and there are 25 people that want to get through, I'm going to look to take the 15 best. You know this, right? Make an argument for yourself. I'll give you an example. Jeff in Richmond, who has won the Smack Off, who was bidding to make an incredible comeback, did not make it on air last year.
Good night now.
You're not guaranteed. So what you should do, and especially if I've not heard from you in a while, is come in here, get racked a couple of times, and remind me, you know, flex a little bit. Let me know you're still here and you still have some heat. Otherwise, if you lay out and you don't show up until the day of, there's a good chance that it's going to bite you in the back. You won't get on. Now, for a minute, moving on to the Western Conference Finals. For a minute, the Rockets series, there was this whole thing, this narrative about Steph Curry. The narrative being that the Warriors were Kevin Durant's team, not Steph's. And that the Warriors, without Kevin Durant, were suddenly vulnerable. Maybe even beatable. Like, all of a sudden, they were not the team to beat. The narrative also included the suggestion that Steph was struggling in the playoffs and that Steph certainly was not the player he used to be. Never mind that he was playing with a jack digit that you know was bothering him more than he was letting on. Then he was held scoreless in the first half of Game 6, and the haters were out in full force. Never mind that this guy is a two-time MVP with a fistful of jewelry. The Dubs were in trouble. Steph was scoreless, and folks were rushing in to bury this guy. Yet right up until he scored 33 in the second half, including 23 in the fourth quarter, and single-handedly closed out the Rockets and ruined them. The Rockets were dead, and that narrative about Steph should have been as well. But for some reason, it wasn't. Especially for those dopes who look at this guy and never respected him the way they should have in the first place. Well, if you still had some questions, they were answered last night. 36 points, 9 threes, en route to a 116-94 beatdown in Game 1. My man had it all working. Back-to-back threes to end the first half.
48-45 Warriors. Steph Curry off the screen. Nails a three. Gets it right back. Just like that.
Stop, aim, fire.
McCollum defending. Looney screening. Steph comes middle. Steph turns. Fires away. Three ball. Good. He didn't even handle it cleanly.
Warriors radio. There were those. And then there was this absurd fast break three.
Iguodala's got it. It's a three-on-three. Steph Curry stops and pops. Left wing triple. Good for Steph.
And on top of that, there was this.
Steph off a screen. Takes a three straight on. Knocked out another one. His eighth three of the night. Curry's got 31.
Man, that looked easy. That looked really easy. You know why that looked easy? Because it was easy. Golden State was rested. They were ready. The Blazers, though, were gassed. They had played Game 7 on Sunday. Then they had to face the most dominant team of this era, and they had to do so on the road on short rest. No wonder Dame and CJ had off nights. Listen, that was not a matter of will. That was not a matter of the moment being too big for them, or the stage being too big, or a lack of preparation, or a lack of focus, or a lack of heart. All that garbage was floating around last night. I actually heard things like that. It's ridiculous. You think for a second that Damian Lillard, playing in the conference finals in his hometown of Oakland, is going to be overawed by that moment. You think that Damian Lillard is going to shrink from that. You think CJ McCollum, coming off a 37-point performance in Game 7 in Denver, is going to feel like the conference finals are too big for him. Man, shut the hell up with that. That's not what that is. What that is a matter of them having nothing left in the tank for game one. That's a matter of them running into a team that had been rested. And yes, there is going to be an issue with Portland and how they defend Steph Curry. He had a lot of open looks. And a lot of that was a result of Enes Kanter not picking him up on screen actions. And they're going to have to figure that out. If not, he will destroy them like he did last night. But even as exhausted as Portland looked, and as poorly as Lillard and McCollum shot it, they were still within reach at the end of the third quarter. There's just not an easy solution when you play Golden State. That's why they're Golden State. Even without Kevin Durant, they're still monsters. And they move the ball so well, especially without Durant. I mean, I would never argue that they're better without Durant, but the ball does move a lot better without Durant. Not even a rap on Kevin Durant. You throw the ball into him, the ball probably should stop moving. The guy can get whatever he wants, whenever he wants, against whomever he wants. That's why the ball stops moving. Except when he's not in there, the ball does move. And then they're in their rhythm, and they're in their flow, and they can go deep, like 13 guys deep. And that's a nightmare for Portland. Because it's not just Klay that got off, or Curry. I mean, it's that. It's things were going so well that even Klay got up and dunked.
Hood goes to Harkless in the corner. It's a three. Blocked by Draymond. Grabbed by Curry. Klay Thompson breakaway. Dunk! Uh-oh!
If Klay's going to throw one down, that's a problem. But that's not the biggest problem. No, it's the guys that were fresh going into the game and fresh coming out of it. Golden State played 13 guys. 10 of them went for 10 minutes or more. So the fresh get fresher, and suddenly that lack of warrior depth that was supposed to be the thing that was going to break them may not be an issue. Not if they're getting quality minutes off the bench like they did last night. And that's going to be a problem for Portland, especially since Steph is still Steph, no matter how badly the haters want to say he's not. So yes, Portland is in deep. But they've been in deep before. And not because they're just happy to be here or because the stage is too big. And they're in deep because they were gassed going to last night's game. But anybody who thinks that one's over after one game, I mean, who are you, Paul Pierce? Anybody stupid enough to say that a series is over after just one game? This one definitely is not over.
No, listen, I think it's over.
Well, you're right, it was over. Except the other team won. This one's not over. They are in deep, but they have been in deep before. And they're really bad takes. They're bad takes like, oh man, this series is over. Boston won game one. This series is over. That's a bad take. Steph Curry, not being what he was, not being trustworthy in the postseason, another really bad take.
I think it's over.
He's right. It was over. Just not with the team that he said it was over with.
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph. No way. Steph Curry. Hey, Steph Curry.
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph Curry.
In case you forgot, I wanted to remind you of what the NBA is.
What?
A man's game.
Yes! Never forget that. Hey, Steph Curry.
Hey, Jim Rome.
My man Ray Ritter must have way back in the day said, hey, Steph, can you do this for Rome? Just say, hey, Jim Rome. Hey, Steph Curry.
Hey, Jim Rome.
Hey, Steph, let me ask you something. What is the NBA?
In case you forgot, I wanted to remind you of what the NBA is.
What?
A man's game.
Love it when he says that. It is a man's game. Hey, Rome, like Hawk, I'm also trying to get down to 180. Signed, Treats in Spaghetti-O City's heart rate when the dinner bell rings. Spaghetti, Treats in Spaghetti-O City. Beaks posed for one picture. Can I tell you something? The way you make that sound, nobody's that fat. Nobody. Fat. My 600-pound life is not that fat. Get off of Treats in Spaghetti-O City. Speaking of bad takes, So Paul Pierce said after game one that series was over.
I think it's over.
Giannis is still killing the Celtics. Giannis. Somebody pull Giannis off the Celtics. Giannis, they're already dead. They're already dead, man. Somebody pull the Greek freak off the Celtics.
Someone call someone.
Someone call someone. Giannis is still stepping on the Celtics, and they're already dead. That's two for Vlad Jr. And there is a watch party, which I want to get into a little bit later on, for Smackoff 25. Morgan Burnett, Brown safety. You have America's team. You have America's quarterback, Baker Mayfield. You have America's coach, Freddie Kitchens. Morgan Burnett, depending on how this goes, could be bidding to become America's safety. And don't you tell me they're not going to make the postseason this year. They are. I want to talk about the pod, the Jim Rome podcast. The side hustle got nice and different this week with Bill Hader. All that coming up. What do you say we do a sports update, though, right now?
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Halfway through it, we already hit the draft lottery. We already hit Golden State beating Portland in game one. Let's talk Eastern Conference Finals. And again, I'm looking for good telephone calls. I'm not going to run through phone calls, just run through phone calls. I'm looking for phone calls to set up the Smackoff, which is now 37 days out. So game one of the Eastern Conference Finals gets underway tonight in Milwaukee. Raptors and Bucks, Kawhi v. Giannis, Claw v. Freak, and another incredible edition of Rest v. Rust. The Raptors coming off a game seven win on Sunday. The Bucks have been idle for a week. So is that too much time off at this point of year, or is that a good thing or a bad thing? We're going to find out tonight. This much we know. It's the two best teams in the Eastern Conference all season long, and they're going to meet in the conference finals. The Bucks were the best defensive team in the regular season, and they've been even better in the playoffs. Same time, Kawhi and company will be the best offensive team that Milwaukee has seen in the postseason. So, the big question, how does Toronto go about defending Giannis? Kawhi was not matched up on him that often in the regular season, so do you put him on the freak right now? Or do you stick with Pascal Siakam? And then what do you do with Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka? And then on the other end, how is Chris Middleton going to do against Kawhi defensively? And can the Bucks force Kawhi into being a playmaker and get the ball out of his hands? I mean, there's so many different angles to this series. It's a great, great matchup. So how do you break it down? How do you break it down, and what does this series come down to? Well, if you put that question to Giannis, he says it's actually pretty simple.
You know, against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and you still be fine. But against Toronto, you know, it's hard to be in that spot. You know, we lose the first game in your home.
Oh! Boom! Roasted! Damn, Giannis! Stop, Giannis! The Celtics are already dead. Giannis, you already just said, quote, against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and still be fine. Run that back for me.
You know, against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and you still be fine, but...
Oh! Open wound meets salt. Salt, here's the open wound. Man, there was no intimidation whatsoever. Absolutely no intimidation factor there. Lose game one at home and, quote, we'll still be fine. It's amazing. Yeah, we'll spot you a game and we'll still win in five. How's that taste, Boston? It's been a week since Giannis slammed the door on you and he's still dunking on your head. Viciously throwing down and hanging on the rim for like an hour after he did it. He ended your season last week. He's still killing you this week. And of course, everybody went nuts over that. Except for one problem. He's not wrong. and he didn't do that to disrespect the Celtics. The worst part of that is that it's a matter of fact. He didn't go into some like big old windup and deliver some cartoon style haymaker. He's just telling the truth. He's just being real. He's just spitting facts. It's a statement of fact. Against Boston, the Bucks did go down 1-0. Not only did they go down 1-0, they lost game one at home by 22. And he's right, they were fine because they won the next four. They made a couple of adjustments. They dominated from that point on. It was easy. Giannis is right. The Celtics are a card house, but the Raptors are not the kind of team that's just going to fold like that. They were down 2-1 in their series against Philadelphia, and they had been blown out in game three. But they didn't quit. They didn't fold. Their star player did not start saying asinine stuff about needing more shots. They dug in. They went to work. They found a way to win. Like the Raptors, they may not be as talented as Boston on paper, but they're a much better team. They have legit leadership. They have a star that puts the team on his back, and they keep grinding, and they keep battling. The Celtics, yeah, not so much. When the going got tough, Kyrie quit. He looked for the nearest exit, and he just disappeared. When his shot wasn't working, his defense stopped, and then he just stopped altogether. It's a miracle that Kyrie stayed on the floor for the entire Game 5 and didn't just throw his jersey into the crowd and disappear down the tunnel in the middle of the fourth quarter. You think that's going to happen with Kawhi? Hell no. First off, Kawhi's defense never stops. Secondly, he and his guys are too mentally tough to pack it in and fold like that. They're still in for a challenge against a Bucks team that has already skipped a ton of steps this year. But unlike the Celtics, they're not going to see that challenge and then just look for a nice soft place to lay down and die. Because the Raptors are everything that the Celtics are not. And Giannis was 100% accurate in what he said.
You know, against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and you still be fine.
Why are people freaking out about that? He's right. They did go down 1-0, and they were fine.
Someone call someone.
And not only did they go down 1-0, they lost game one in their own home. And not only did they lose game one in their own barn, they got hammered. It still didn't matter at all. Giannis is right. And shut that down and go home. He's Batman.
I'm Batman.
His last day is Friday. If you have some farewell thoughts for Keith Arnold, save them up. Friday is the day. Ed Pete in Kalamazoo tweets, Bill Hader, I got kicked out of my last house for being a Bill Hader. Signed, Ira Craig.
TheIraCraig@yahoo.com.
Beaks in Studio City is in. If I get to 210 before Adam Hawk gets to 180, my request would be a self-gloss Friday for the clones. I got a better idea, Fatso. Stop eating.
Fat.
Beaks, man. Stop making demands or suggestions or requests and just push away from the table, bro. Beaks, I've tried to defend you, man, but you should not be asking for anything other than cantaloupe. Or diet soda. Come on, man. Dude, you're in no position to be asking me for anything when I spent half my life defending you, all right, man? Just stop. Just stop, Beaks. And by stop, I mean stop eating. Bro, you shouldn't be demanding anything other than diet soda and lipo. Come on, man. You brought that on yourself, bro. I've been defending you this whole time. Now, what I need is a good telephone call. I have a telephone number. It is toll free. It is good in the United States of America. It is good in Canada. It's good pretty much everywhere. It is 1-800-636-8686. You should use it and call me right now. You get through Adam Hawk. You get on the air. If it's a good phone call, you get racked. If it's an exceptional phone call, you might even rip a golden ticket. Anything to make the smack off better than what it already is. We talked about the draft lottery. Normally, I don't get so hyped up on something that's a month out, but there was a lot of drama last night. How about the Pelicans jumping up from where they were to rip the first pick and the right to... He's Batman! So a lot of different things going on here, right? So we've got our terrestrial affiliates. We've got CBS Sports Network, so you can watch the radio show on TV. Some people listening to this radio program still do not know that it is a TV show as well. It's a simulcast on CBS Sports Network. Also, we are on Sirius XM. Lots of different ways. So some of you can see and hear what I'm saying. Some of you can only hear what I'm saying. And that's why when there's a sound drop that seems like it's coming out of nowhere, I try to explain to you exactly what it is. Like Batman walking in studio.
I'm Batman.
This email, for some reason now, I'm getting Giannis's emails. Hey, Giannis, sweet take. Way to take down the flat earth truther, leading his own fight by himself with an army that doesn't support him in the second round. I hope you do realize that you haven't even started the Eastern Finals yet. And if by some miracle you do make it past Toronto, good luck with Golden State in the finals, bro. Anyway, us Celtic fans are already on to the next thing, as in our hockey team, which is one win away from being in the Stanley Cup Finals and five away from bringing a parade to our city for the third time this year. Matt in Poland Springs. That's weak, dude. You beat them down in their house in game one, and they ran right through you. And that's your response. Yeah, sweet take, bro. Way to beat us in the second round. You do know you haven't even started the Eastern Conference Finals yet, right? Anyway, we're going to celebrate another championship. Come on, Matt, you're better than that. I know you, Matt. You're way better than that. That's a bad take. It's the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis is going to run that league for at least a decade. He's unbelievable. And he's got the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Love that matchup. And by the way, Giannis, to that point, the Celtics are dead. Stop killing them.
You know, against Boston, you can go down 1-0 and you still be fine.
I don't even know that he meant that. Like bleep talk. It's just a matter of fact. You just said it. Point being, you got to get off to a better start against Toronto because they're a much better team. They're a much better team. Never mind that they don't have nearly the talent that the Celtics have. They're just a much better team with much better leadership, much better character, and a star player that the other guys will follow into battle, and a star player who will not shut down if things don't go well. So I can't wait for that matchup. That's two for Vlad Jr.
It's two for me.
You see Vladimir Guerrero's kid raking last night. He gets his call up. We've been waiting, and he did what he does. So looking into hour number three, I'm going to start things off by talking to Morgan Burnett, Cleveland Browns safety. They are America's team. And the reason they're America's team is because of what they did last year, what they've done in the offseason, and they've got America's quarterback, Baker Mayfield, who I can't get enough of. I love this guy. America's coach, Freddie Kitchens. I love him. Don't tell me he can't handle that locker room. He will. He'll be fine. He's the right guy at the right time in the right place, and they're going to kill it. If they stay healthy, they will kill it. Morgan Burnett joins me. When we come back, open phones on the back end, a look ahead to Ep 81 of the Jim Rome podcast, and more. You're in the jungle. I am the pimp in the box. Don't go anywhere.